Hello and welcome to Rigore, the Italian football podcast, which has reverted to form with both of us being pretty miserable. I'm particularly miserable today. I'm Marco and I'm a Venezia fan, and we've just lost 3-2 at home to Reggiana.
This feels like, I can't remember what one it did. We did one fresh after a Fiorentina defeat.
Roma.
Yeah. And so that feels a bit like, I've just had longer to get over being beaten. That's
yeah,
all.
Exactly.
So I'm slightly less miserable. But and also I think in fairness,
you were 2-0 up.
Yeah, we weren't 2-0 up, and also we were playing Milan as well. Yeah, you know, exactly. So there's a lot of elements that kind of compound your misery this week. But we'll get to that.
I'll save that for later on, because obviously I'm going to look forward to that. But we will start, in fact, not in Serie A either. We're going to start with what we missed while we were away, which was the international games and Italy's venture, jaunt to the US, where they got a couple of victories. And, you know, I think probably more positives than negatives out of the
I think so. I mean, it wasn't too... Although the second game was quite strenuous in terms of the tackles that went flying in. I don't think Ecuador, a decent team, and also, you know, quite tasty for a friendly, I thought. So that was a good workout. And I thought there were better signs probably from that one. I mean, Venezuela was very much experimental, and it looked that way. You know, there wasn't a lot of great signs came out of that. But yeah, I think that, you know, we were both sceptical beforehand, but actually I was sort of won over to the trip when I saw all the American Italians turning out and what it meant to them. And I thought, well, yeah, there is some sense in that. You know, Italy does have a huge immigrant population in America, and it was nice to do something to take the Azzurri to America. I guess next they could come to Scotland, I suppose, and cheer us up as well, you know, cheer up the Scottish Italians. But yeah, it was interesting. I don't know, that I mean, he obviously tried. Spalletti was having a shot at this 3-4-2-1 formation. I mean, did that work for you, Marco? How did you feel about that?
It looked better in the second game, I think, because of the personnel.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. What I found interesting was after that first game, people were saying, "What's your best 11?" And a lot of people had Buongiorno in their best 11, and I thought he was an absolute disaster at the heart of that defense in that first game. And I know you can't judge a player in one game, I know, but if he is the hope, then I think we should be worried.
It was a scary, it was a sort of hear 'em, scare 'em performance. That it did anything that could go wrong, did go wrong pretty much for him. You know, I mean, I'm quite a fan of him as a player, but yeah, no, it was, and also, as you know, my long term dream to see him and Buonanotte on the same side. So, you know, if that kind of somebody out there, some direttore sportivo must put Buongiorno and Buonanotte together in the same team. But no, he did. It was a terrible game. I mean, the whole team looked disjointed in that game. There were a lot of mistakes made. Yeah. And my worry with that formation is that, and it might be a worry for you given your thoughts on the player I'm going to mention, is that it seems to be better suited to Zaniolo than it is to Chiesa. I think it pushes Chiesa infield, and you don't get the best out of him there. Whereas Zaniolo, actually, I thought that being one of the two behind a striker does quite suit him. But I don't know if I'd be building a European challenge on a player that is so inconsistent and so often looks like he might get a red card. But, you know, I don't know. As I say, there's time to fine tune it, I guess. And there's no reason why Chiesa can't play behind a striker. I think Chiesa just low in confidence because Juve are rubbish and he rarely gets a sight of goal anymore.
Exactly. We'll get onto that very topic shortly. But yeah, just before we leave Italy, I mean, the positive, I suppose, was that Retegui continued to show that he's a pretty sharp finisher when he gets an opportunity.
He's definitely a fox in the box, which we haven't had for a while. I don't want to get carried away. You know, I saw a lot of posts, "We've got our bomber," or whatever. I don't, you know, it's early days to go to that. But the drought has been so great that, you know, it's not surprising that people do kind of jump on that. And so, you know, there definitely were positives. There was definitely a more solid feel about the side in the second game. They coped with what was thrown at them much better. I think we both believe that Jorginho at the moment is almost indispensable to that midfield, which maybe that, you know, people hear that and maybe say, well, that tells its own story about Italy. I don't know, but he gives them shape, he gives them pattern. Barella's finish for his goal confirmed to me that, you know, he's one of our world-class. We don't have that many world-class performers. You know, he's one of them. And, you know, and the goalkeeping thing we've mentioned before, that, you know, I think we've got plenty of very capable understudies for Donnarumma now. In fact, you know, Donnarumma might feel under a bit of pressure to be top dog. So, you know, there was enough to say from that. You know, Spalletti's playing catch up really in terms of trying to get a team. There was enough good came out of it to please even a pair of miserable old sods like us.
I think so. And I suppose we've got a couple of friendlies before the Euros that'll, you know, because he didn't ever play his, what I think would be his top 11, even in that formation, all at once. So we will need to see that, I suppose, probably before the Euros as well. So, I think, as I say, more positives than negatives from it. And two wins is two wins at the end of the day. So that's always
exactly,
good.
Exactly.
But going back to this weekend's action, Igor Tudor coming in at Lazio and immediately starting with a win against Juve. And, you know, you mentioned it earlier, Juve just looking pretty terrible at the moment.
Their form's amongst the worst. You know, it just feels so, I've used the analogy before, the Emperor's new clothes, it just feels so like that we've been saying for weeks and weeks that Juve were the worst kind of title contenders we'd ever seen, and it's like somebody's realised that that is the case. I think, though, he who lives by the cortomuso, or whatever he calls it, shall die by the cortomuso. In the end, if your only thing is winning, then when you're not winning, there's no consolation for Juve at the moment. You can't say we're playing really well and losing, because they're not. They're just playing the same badly as they played before, but now they're not scoring with the two chances or one chance that they create a game. And when that dies, unfortunately, you know, it's brutal. You don't have, I mean, we're fans of teams where you often have to seek consolation in defeat, whereas, you know, fino alla fine, Juventus, all that matters is winning. They're not winning. They're playing some honking football. And, you know, it was a brutal, it couldn't even say it was a Juve style win, because Lazio created plenty of chances, had opportunity, but it was Juve style in that it came from a defender in the 93rd minute. I mean, if it had been Rugani at the other end, it would have been classic Juve. But it was good for Lazio, obviously, to get off to a winning start. And once, I mean, I just can't get past the amount of time they spend with Castellanos on the pitch when they could have Immobile. You know, it baffles me. But I suppose Immobile, in the twilight of the career, they've spent, you know, they need to try and capitalise the investment. But they looked, I didn't see the whole game, I saw the highlights. Even on the highlights, it looked, again, like, you know, Lazio were the more likely to win. Juve did have some chances, but their form is just, you know, it's amongst the worst in Serie A. And that battle for, you know, European places is going to be exciting. I genuinely think Bologna look a better side for third place in Serie A now than Juve do, and potentially, you know, I don't know if there's enough games left, but Roma are in good enough form to catch Juve as well. And then, you know, well, fifth place might be Champions League, but, you know, and that, to be honest, on what I've seen of them this season, would be about where Juve would deserve to finish, fourth or fifth in the league. They're really not been very good. And at least Roma, you know, they weren't very good. They did something about it. Juve stuck by their man and, you know, it's reaped the dividends expected, really, you know. So, I mean, they may go on a tear at the end of the season, but even if they do, it'll be 1-0 wins that inspire nobody.
Indeed. And on that European race, Atalanta had a big win in Naples. And, you know, quite important, I suppose, for their form as well. Although you wonder, will they what will they concentrate on? But, you know, they've got the game against Liverpool coming up.
They've got that and a big Coppa Italia semi-final, scarily to me, because, the form lines between Atalanta and Fiorentina are so divergent that it's frightening. I mean, I watched a bit of that game. What scared me is just how bad Napoli's defence has become. Yeah. From being such a solid unit, they really got terrorised by... I mean, Atalanta are playing well. They are good. I mean, there's no two ways about that. But just the same, Juan Jesus, Ramani, they were all to blame for goals that they conceded there, they did get terrorised by Atalanta. And Atalanta can do that to a team. But, Napoli look unlikely to be back in the Champions League again, this, which is, quite a slump from champions to... struggling to get into any European football. But in a way, though, as the kind of champions of the minnows, I think it's nice to see, not that Atalanta's always been up there or thereabouts, but it looked like they were at the end of a cycle.
Yeah, it did.
But hats off to Gasperini. He's reinvented them. He's getting a tune out of Alexei Miranchuk that nobody really got before, and Lukman, Scamacca, all these players are exciting players, and the goal difference doesn't lie. I think they're sitting at about plus 20. There's six teams really in Italy that are in that category, and I'd expect, if we say that there are going to be five Champions League places, which it looks like it, then those are the teams that are fighting for it. One of them's going to miss out, hopefully Juve, but probably not. But Roma is the other team that, is sitting in that group. So you've got Roma, Atalanta, Bologna, I think Milan and Inter are safely ensconced. So it's going to be a sort of four-way fight for three places that's thrilling. But there's no doubt the form just now is with Atalanta. They were pretty scintillating, and that is a concern for a Fiorentina fan, because, as I say, they've got that double header Coppa Italia game coming up, and there's also that, I think, is Fiorentina's notional game in hand.
Yeah,
is against Atalanta as well, which doesn't feel like 3 points in the bag in anybody's book at the moment.
Yeah, and again, speaking about that form line for Fiorentina, unfortunately, another loss this weekend, although it was, as you said at the start, to Milan. So
and it told it. So I mean, everything really happened in six crazy minutes. There were chances at either end, but in the end, I think you have to say Rafa Leao and Mike Maignan are two players that Fiorentina would never be able to sign, probably, and they made the difference. Leao with an audacious assist for the first goal. I mean, a bit fortunate that Milenkovic fell on his arse, but nonetheless, lovely back heel flick. Then, incredibly, Alfred Duncan struck in a stonker for Fiorentina. But it was a curious goal. I don't know. I mean, I'm watching it again. I don't know why Terracciano went to ground for Leao scoring the winner. Uh-huh. It just looked like a straight run that he could have... I don't know, he threw himself on the ground. It was almost like he threw himself out the way. He was terrified to, a big man bearing down on him, and he just kind of said, I'm going to dive here and let him go straight past me. I don't know. I don't think Mike Maignan would have let Leao score so easily. Something, I think something would have collapsed in the box at that point.
Yeah.
That might have been a penalty given away, might have been a red card. It wasn't the most convincing intervention, but just class told, and then Fiorentina had their chances as well, but Maignan was outstanding, made a couple of great saves really to get the win. And we bang on about the same thing, but my God, if Milan fans want Pioli out, who do they want in? I mean, he's on a great run of form, and it was a shame for Fiorentina. It was typical Fiorentina, just outside of the game itself. It was a big night in Florence. It was a sellout crowd. I don't know if you saw, the choreography was absolutely breathtaking in tribute to Joe Baroni, who sadly passed away. And it was a poignant occasion, and it was a shame they couldn't have at least got a point, although it was maybe perhaps typical Fiorentina not to get anything out of the game. But, they did honour Their sporting, their director, fittingly, I think, you know, in terms of the fans, in terms of everything, and you know, it's now up to them. It seems like Vincenzo Italiano is going to leave at the end of the season. This seems to be a sort of open secret that it's the end of the Italiano era in Florence. There was this sort of pact that he would try to deliver a trophy. Well, it's clearly not going to be in Serie A, so it's going to have to be, you know, I mean, I think it's obvious that the Coppa Italia is their best shot at it, because they've only got two games left in it. They're still in the Conference League. It would be lovely to lift a trophy, but it's slightly worrying that the form is not great. And I'm never sure with these, you know, when a coach is a dead man walking,
Yeah.
is it a great thing? You know, it's like, I suppose, like very different expectations by Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool. You know, how will that pan out? You know, maybe the players buy into it and want to, you know, Klopp's a different kettle of fish. He's already done a lot, so maybe, you know, maybe they want to send him off in style. Whereas in Italy, I do sometimes think there's going to be players there that are thinking, you know, just let's get to the end of this and get whoever the new coach in, and it creates uncertainty as well. It certainly hasn't, you know, since it's come out, hasn't shown great results for Fiorentina. So, as I say, you know, to lose to Milan, no disgrace, but I think it just showed the quality of player, even though, as I say, Milanisti might not think the squad is up to their great high standards. You know, they still had class acts that were a level above what Fiorentina had, and that ultimately made the difference.
Yeah, I think so. And I suppose it is now time to dip down into Serie B.
Yes, we've put it off as long as we could,
Yeah,
Marco.
so
Sorry.
yeah, we are recording this fresh off the end of Venezia Reggiana, 2-0 up in the 44th minute, lost the game 3-2, allowed Portanova, who is not a player I'm a fan of for
No,
reasons off the pitch.
he seems to reserve a
Yeah,
performance for
he got a
against you
goal
as
just
well.
before half time, and you know it's that old say, you know it's just a bad time to concede a goal, and then literally gave them a goal early on when Altari headed in early in the second half, and after that we just sort of lost our way, allowed them to score again, and we just couldn't force an equaliser at the very least, which you know it's a bit of a not a bit of but it's a bit of a disaster because it's a game we should be winning. We've thrown away 6 points to Reggiana, who I mean they knock the ball around okay, but I just don't think they're a very great team. And at this stage of the season, it's a game we want to be winning because we are looking for automatic promotion, but it's obviously very tight, as we've talked about before. Como won, so we are dropped down a place, and Cremonese are still to play. They probably will win because they're playing Ferrol Pisaro, and then yeah, the 7 games left. All we can do, I guess, is try and win all of those seven.
Everyone's a
Yeah.
cup final.
Exactly,
Everyone's a
that's the
cup
same. I mean, they
final.
said that
It's
before today's game as well. They would be out the cup now. But there you go.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So everyone's a cup final, except you get to play another cup final
Yeah,
the next
exactly.
weekend. So it's slightly different to a cup final. But yeah, no, I mean it's a cutthroat business, because I was looking at, and you know, and as I say, just before half time, I looked at, oh, 2-0. That's a good, you know, got that in the bag. Parma
Losing, yeah.
surprisingly got beat by, although, you know, the Catanzaro, one of my favourite teams to watch in Serie B, very entertaining. Although the game of the weekend has to go to Pisa and Palermo, dished up a
Yeah.
4-3 thriller, that possibly was a better tribute to Joe Barone than Fiorentina managed. I say that because Alberto Aquilani, the Pisa manager, very close to Joe Barone, so that was nice. But you're right, unfortunately, the teams around you now are winning. I mean, as you say, it looks like Cremonese likely to get the win as well. So, you know, that's going to make that second spot a very, very exciting battle to the end of the season. And I mean, I guess, you know, the only thing is that there's time for others to be miserable as well. But it does ring the alarm bells about that defence again, Marco, which is
Yeah,
something that you've chirped
it
on
is,
about in the
and
past.
he,
And
you know, he switched. He's switched more recently to this three at the back, which, because of that, to try and compensate for that. But Altari is a big he's a big, you know, enthusiastic player, but he can have games like he had today where everything goes wrong for him, and it did today, unfortunately.
That sounds like a euphemism for donkey, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, yeah, I was trying
he's
not
big
to call
and enthusiastic.
I was trying not to call him that.
But he's useless. No, yeah. I know the, exactly the sort of, like the Gatti of the second division, yeah. You know what I mean? It's just that kind of player that they're rough around the edges, let's see, you know, and if you can harness them well, I always think that kind of player, if you get them with an old head or a wide, you know, a smart defender next to them, they can be a lethal double act, but on their own they can be a car crash, which is
exactly.
unfortunately
we don't have any, you know, when you know, Idzes is a decent enough player, but he's nothing. And then Svoboda, you know, when I'm sad that Svoboda isn't starting it for our defence, then that probably tells its own story, because he himself is a bit of that, is a bit of that ilk. But yeah, and then he even brought on Cheryshev today, which tells me maybe there's not enough games left in the season for him to get his bonus appearances or something.
Oh, maybe you're now into the Cheryshev zone. Maybe he's allowed to play these last games, which could be a bonus, right enough on the
running. Yeah, it could be, although he'll have to do a lot better than he did when he came on today, but he hasn't played football for a long
time.
He'll
be ring rusty, that's for sure. He'll be ring rusty. You'll need to introduce him to what a football is, first of all, before he actually gets that. But that's interest, and maybe he's be unleashed for the run-in and be the man to win and then clear off, because you can't afford to keep him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what I would say about the run-in is that I think Cremonese apart, and we are playing them at home, and obviously playing a direct rival is good if you can actually beat them, which we haven't done in the second half of the season. And then we're away to Catanzaro. Those are the two games that look to me to be tough. But I would say, looking at, certainly Como's run-in looks harder than ours. Even Cremonese's looks a bit tougher than ours on paper. But there are no easy games in Serie B, as we've said. So I don't know. I think picking yourself up after a defeat like today is the most difficult thing, and that's what Vanilli's got to try and get them to do.
Yeah, I know that's going to be the key, and you too as well, Marco. You need to pick yourself up after a defeat and be ready for next weekend to get yourself, you know, fighting fit and back to the cheery, happy individual that podcast listeners will be used to. It'll certainly not be me, because it's Juventus Fiorentina next weekend, so I'll certainly be miserable. Our record in that game is pure honking of late, so I fully expect me to be miserable next weekend, but I can only hope that one of us at least has something to cheer about, and potentially I've got double disaster ahead with Atalanta in the cup Juventus in the league, so it's not looking, so set your alarms for next Monday morning so you can listen to me being miserable, but maybe, fingers crossed, Mark will get something to be happy about, because I know that it's been a bad weekend all round, but that is perhaps our selling point on this pod anyway.
It is, and we'll bring it to a close there on that note of misery, which our listeners will like.
Fitting, though.
If you've enjoyed listening to this miserable podcast, then please do rate and review us and follow and all of these things, because that... You know, it's always good to hear that it's not just me and you moaning at each other.
I think it is to me, it is the common experience of football fans, really, is more.
It's true, unless
you support a giant, unless you support Man City or whoever else that dominates their league, you know, Celtic, Rangers, whatever. For most fans of every other team, it is more misery than, and we're here to provide that.
We are indeed, and we will be back with more of it next week.
Absolutely.